This year is brought to you by TartarWeb.org.
A tremendous privilege for us to welcome the first meeting and share the truth this morning is brought by TartarWeb. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that our first meeting is the remnant of all of us sitting here, some of us formally, many of us informally, and I'm going by extension, I think pretty much a tremendous segment of the Kalal Yisrael are the privilege of the decades to be Talmidim. In both ways, he has served as a leader in Kalal Yisrael, came in terms of his full shiurim, in terms of his show shiurim, in terms of a role model, on a very personal note. I have had the privilege to be able to spend time with Rizvi over many years in yeshiva, many years together in the summers, and it's my co-op, just to be able to watch and to be in the presence of such a struggle is something which is as humbling for myself and I'm sure for many of us. But really, it's a tremendous kind of struggle. The era of Tversky was as the Torah relates to so many different nuances, particularly in the modern world, and the modern challenges that we all face as the Torah. It really is a tremendous struggle for Tversky.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rav Mordas. Either the breakfast wasn't as lavish as it was supposed to be, or I came late. I prefer to opt for the first interpretation, but I leave it to the Olam. Those who take the second one, my apologies. You know, it's a truism that in contemporary times, we live surrounded by an immoral society, which is in many respects inimical to our faith and Masora, thereby posing a threat to the Torah worldview and way of life. The challenge posed by that reality is exponentially compounded by the militancy of that immorality. At times, one justly feels that we don't live in an age of kfiya datit, but of kfiya kafranit. So what, in these trying times, is the correct modus vivendi? A total withdrawal and insularity the answer? Are they an answer? One of many valid responses. So at first glance, one can propound a cogent and even compelling argument in favor of withdrawal and total insularity. Navigating within society involves very real nisyonos. With nisyonos comes the possibility of being nichshal, a failure. And having Chazal cautioned us, la'olam ol yavi odam atzmo lidei nisayon, that a person shouldn't be looking to engage in nisyonos, in confronting nisyonos, because no less a personage than David HaMelech failed in his nisayon that he invited. When we speak of insularity and withdrawal, so it's potentially true in a three-pronged way. It can be contemplated vis-a-vis general society. It can be contemplated, again, contemplated and implemented in if one adopts that approach, A, vis-a-vis general society, B, vis-a-vis our not yet religious brethren, and even vis-a-vis those who are also shomei Torah mitzvahs but have a different derech than the one which we subscribe to. Maybe let's consider a couple of illustrative suggestions or proposals of what withdrawal and insularity look like. The attempt for total insularity and withdrawal. What should the admissions policy of our yeshivas be? If we welcome, let's say, children of Balei Tshuva, so clearly they have a certain exposure to the outside broader world than children of non-Balei Tshuva, because of their relationship with their grandparents and broader families, there is an exposure to the world, which otherwise perhaps wouldn't be present in the corridors of the yeshivas. So in looking to raise generations al Taras HaKodesh, so is that the correct policy? And another question to contemplate, not purely the figment of imagination. Undoubtedly, all seasons, but especially in the spring and summer seasons of the year, the amount of pritzus that exists, say, in Manhattan is staggering. So maybe what that warrants is a policy that even for panasa purposes, a person is not allowed to enter into that borough or south of Washington Heights at any rate. So I think that the first thing before obviously proceeding to articulate what we all intuitively sense that both of those suggestions are entirely untenable, it's very important to emphasize that when such suggestions are put forward, they're done with noble motives and noble aspirations. As untenable as the suggestions themselves are, they are motivated sincerely by very real and valid concerns. It is a real and valid concern what exposure children, especially children have, all of us, but especially children who are so at such a young and formative age. Shmiras Einayim, Kedushas HaMachshava are bedrock, foundational values for Kedushas Yisrael. Nevertheless, the suggestions are obviously untenable, and because of that, wrong, totally wrong. To have a policy that Rahman al-Atslan discriminates against Baalei Tshuva, that in some way disenfranchises Baalei Tshuva, Kisha La'atzmo, is an avla of major, major proportions. And beyond that, anything which disenfranchises present Baalei Tshuva disincentivizes Rahman al-Atslan, future Baalei Tshuva. So obviously that's totally, totally untenable. And because of that, really unthinkable. In terms of the other illustration we gave, the problem of pritzus and exposure thereto is very real, and one that needs to be confronted, but unless there's an alternate viable plan for how a group who receives such a directive is going to make hishtadlus for panosa, and how they're not going to be put in a position where it then becomes a overwhelming temptation to cheat and to somehow compensate for lost parnasa opportunities, it's also totally, totally untenable. But where conceptually does that approach of total withdrawal and insularity go wrong? Again, the concerns are very real. The motives and aspiration are noble. Where does it go wrong? And again, in Chazal, do caution us. So the answer clearly is that we need to differentiate between types of nisyonos, yesh v'yesh. On the one hand, la'olam al yovi adam atzmal de nisayin. On the other hand, as you're all familiar, Ramchal writes at the beginning of Maseilas Yesharim, he says that all of life, in addition, editorial context, in addition to being a continuous series of bracha and opportunity, is also a continuous series of nisyonos and challenges. When Chazal caution us against nisyonos, against being in a position where a person has to confront an nisayon, has to navigate his way, Chazal are referring to a self-imposed nisayon, la'olam al yovi adam atzmo l'idei nisayon, as in the case with David HaMelech, who wanted that the Shmoneh Esrei should be allocated to David also, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you haven't earned it. So David HaMelech says, so give me a nisayon, give me the chance to earn it. So David HaMelech made the, Chazal say, he made a mistake. David HaMelech made the mistake of inviting, of having a self-imposed nisayon. A self-imposed nisayon, a person is never ever supposed to look for. A person is never supposed to gratuitously impose a nisayon. But nisyonos constitute the very fabric of life. All of life is again a continuum of nisyonos. And what happens when a person or a society or a community tries to avoid a nisayon which isn't gratuitous, it isn't self-imposed, but it's part of the very fabric of life, is that inevitably, in avoiding one nisayon, what one is going to shortchange or be insensitive to or oblivious to other nisyonos that he's supposed to be confronting. So yes, is it a challenge how to raise children al Taharas HaKodesh in today's world? Absolutely is. But the reality, given the large numbers of Jews who are not yet religious, and then the fact that obviously we want everyone to enjoy the blessing of Torah and Torah life. So it's not a gratuitous nisayon to figure out how we reconcile the challenge of our children or grandchildren having classmates who are the children of Balei Tshuva. That's not a gratuitous nisayon. If it were a gratuitous nisayon, so then avoidance is the answer, retreat is the answer. But when it's a nisayon that's built into the fabric of life, you know, the moshel is, if the tablecloth just covers the table, if you pull it too much in one direction, so then you leave the table exposed in the other direction. And when we choose a nisayon, one nisayon, which is part of the fabric of life, and look to totally avoid that, to look to try to escape from confronting, knowing how to navigate, not compromise with, but knowing how to navigate that nisayon. So what happens is you pull the tablecloth too much in one direction, the tablecloth is left exposed in the other direction. You know, during the course of the very tragic and terrible, on the one hand, and on the other hand, heroic past 2.5 years. So one of the things I think we've all heard from those who, for their community, oppose army service in Tzahal, is that not only is it necessary for that position to be taught within their community, but also one cannot show a hakaras hatov to the chayalim who are literally mosa nefesh, because if they're through that, so then they're going to be held up on a pedestal, and then others will look to emulate them. And since, again, as this train of thought continues, since that is something which is unacceptable, so then memela, not only does the community have to be taught that army service is anathema, but even the acknowledgement and the appreciation and the hakaras hatov for the incredible and indescribable sacrifice in Mesiras Nefesh, that has to be withheld also. So without discussing the premise, leaving that aside, not necessarily endorsing the premise, but leaving that aside, so it's another example. Is that a valid concern? If someone thinks so, lidvarav, yeah, it is a valid concern. It is a valid concern. It's the kind of rationale that those who engage in tami mitzvahs explain for the issa of lo sechanim, of lo sita mohem chen. It is true that when you praise someone, that there is a risk of holding that person up as an exemplar, and that others may follow suit, that there is such a risk. And that's true. And one can sincerely be concerned with that risk. But to because of that risk, you know, to pull the tablecloth all the way in one direction, and to become kfuye tova of hatorah tetzave b'derech ha'aretz, Medinas Yisrael has to have an army. There have to be people who are HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs nisim nistarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say that we can just sit back. HaTorah Tetzaveh B'Derech HaAretz, the Ramban says, that has to be there. It's a vital, indispensable, not only for the safety and security of all those who live in Medina Israel, but for all Jews all over the world, with the resurgence of anti-Semitism. So we all know that we can continue to live here as long as our passport is up to date. That's the reality with which we live, and that's how we sleep well at night. As long as our passport is up to date, we know that there is a haven. To not acknowledge that Mesiras Nefesh, the being a kfoy tova, the animosity that it creates, the sinas achim that it creates. So again, what's the answer? The answer is that this is a nisayon which is part of the fabric of life, and it never ever works to try to run away from a nisayon which is part of the fabric of life, because you have to thread the needle. Because if you don't thread the needle, if you just try to go to the opposite extreme, so then there's another value in Torah which is going to be trampled upon. And this is true, this yisod is true, I will say, not only in the issue of how we interact with, again, the different concentric societal circles around us, that of other from Jews who have a different derech, that of the not yet religious Jews, that of broader society. It's not only true there, it's true in terms of Avodas Hashem in general. So the Rambam juxtaposes the following two halachas at the end of Perek Beis in Hilchos Deos and the beginning of Perek Gimel, Hilchos Deos. At the end of Perek Beis, the Rambam quotes from the Mishnah in Avos that Hakinna v'hatari v'hakavod is motzinas adam na'olam. A person can lose everything because of those midos of kina and taiva of kavod. The end of Perek Beis. Beginning of Perek Gimel, Shema Yom HaAdam, since these are such insidious, potentially destructive midos, Shema Yom HaAdam Esrachek An Haktzeh Acharon. So I need, because taiva can be motzias adam and olam, so I need to subject myself to some kind of Spartan regimen, and lo ochal basar, lo eshte yayin, and drastically limit my intake, and kavod, a person should wear sackcloth. He should wear tattered clothing, not to be paying any attention to his own dignity. So writes the Rambam, no, he's nikra chote if he does that. The Rambam says, we paskin hayoshe b'tayne, it's not nikra kadosh, but nikra chote. And the nazir needs kapara al shetzir atzum min hayayin. What's extraordinary, and this is between the lines in the Rambam, if you look at those two Ma'amori Chazal that the Rambam's quoting, of Hakina Ataiva Kovod Mutzin Sadam and Olam on the one hand, and that the Nazir is Nikra Chote Al Shetzir Atzum and Ayayin on the other hand, it's the same Tana. They're both of Elazar HaKafa. The total withdrawal approach to Hakina v'hatayi v'hakovin mutzinas adam and olam is to go to the other extreme, is to go to the opposite extreme. And Rav Elazar Kappa says, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's why it's the same Rav Elazar Kappa, lest his first maimra be misunderstood, and lest it elicit an imbalanced response. So Rav Elazar Kappa is the same one who says that the Nazir, who brings a sin offering, al shetzir atzmo min hayayin. In the same sense, the famous Agadita in the Gemara in Yuma, where the Gemara says that after being granted their tefillah that the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah should be eliminated. So they said it's an Eis Ratzon. So we'll ask that the Yetzer Hara for Arayas, that should also be eliminated. On the whole of Eis Ratzon Hu, Niboy Rachme a Yetzer Davera. So Bo Rachme, they did. They implored HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was given to them to subjugate the Yetzer Hara for Arayas. Amar lahu chazu de'i katlisu lei lahahu kalya alma. But then they were warned, if you kill the Yetzer Hara of Arayas, the world will not continue. There will be no more period of Rivia. The world will not continue. Chavshu tlasa yomei. So they decided to experiment empirically, see what happened. So they imprisoned the Yetzer Hara for 3 days. Ubo biasa bas yomei b'chol eretz yisrael v'lo ashtakach. And even in the animal world, without that Yetzer Hara, the world doesn't continue. So here too, is the Yetzer Hara of Arayas very great? So Chazal tell us, there's no generation, there's no society in which people are not nichshal because of that Yetzer Hara. It is a very, very, very powerful Yetzer Hara that we have. But Me'idach Gisa, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Tzura Sa'odam is that life, again, the blessing and opportunity of life consists of confronting Nisyonas, consists of figuring out how to navigate, how to be mechazek our children, that maybe something they heard in school is because that their friends, grandparents, weren't zolcha to a proper chinuch, and they don't know as much as they should yet, and because of that they make mistakes. So we have to figure out how to thread the needle. And in terms of allowing people to make ishtadlus for panosa, so we have to know when the Gemara in Bava Basra's din of Les Leidaka Achrina is applicable, when it's a person is not at fault for being exposed to certain things because there is no clear alternative, and whatever other safeguards can be put in place, but we have to figure out how to navigate. But the insularity and complete withdrawal inevitably leaves the other side. You pull the tablecloth all the way to one side, it leaves the other side exposed. It's also somewhat of an illusion to think that total insularity is even possible. Right? When we look at the world, so we see that no one has figured out how to create a hermetically sealed society. And even if in some ways it looks that certain things have been kept at bay, I don't know, the problem of over-the-top affluence is one that cuts across all communities. No one community has a monopoly on it, or other societally driven problems. But it is of paramount importance, as important as everything else that we've discussed until now, even in rejecting an approach of withdrawal and total insularity, it's very, very important to learn from it and to be sensitized, reminded that there are very real concerns that we do need to be mindful of and do need to encounter. The alternative to insularity and withdrawal is not saying, okay, you know, what are you going to do? That there are problems. No, there has to be a profound concern on our part to recognize and to navigate those problems. And the truth is, we, as much as we don't agree, I think we owe a tremendous debt and the Hakar Satov to those who are highlighting what all the pitfalls are. One can't, again, totally withdraw. One can't indiscriminately reject everything from the outside world so that even public health directives are not accepted. But one, we do need to be reminded about just how much of in the outside world is something that needs to be filtered out. And even in not accepting that approach, even in recognizing that it's untenable, we do have to be reminded of and sensitized to the concerns that they place front and center. Thank you.